This is Jay Sekulow. Breaking news. The United Nations Security Council to meet the issue, Iran.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
One of our great concerns at the end of that nuclear deal that the Obama administration cut was that, you know, $100 billion that had been frozen went into the coffers of the Iranians. What they've spent it on, basically, is military buildup and military engagement. Part of that is intercontinental ballistic missiles. And what we are saying on the U.S. side, we are now saying, all right, in that case, then we are going to sanction any business, company, entity, bank that in any way helps build up that intercontinental ballistic missile system.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
The UN must speak out. In the days ahead, we will be calling for an emergency session both here in New York and at the Human Rights Council in Geneva. We must not be silent. The people of Iran are crying out for freedom. All freedom-loving people must stand with their cause.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Ali Raza Nader, who is a Middle East analyst for the RAND Corporation, has issued a statement on Twitter, which I think is very significant, as the UN Security Council is about to meet in an emergency session on the situation in Iran. And he writes, hashtag Iran uprising has real momentum with protests reportedly continuing all over Iran. Hard to get full picture due to info blockage. The information blockage means that those that are using social media applications and so forth are not able to get that information out, Logan, correct? Explain to people what when they say information blockage, because we're thinking broadcast TV, think about what we're on air right now on Facebook.
No, but your country at the end of the day can control essentially the internet. You know, there's areas you can go in this country, or you may be, you know, look at your phone and be like, that's odd. I wonder why there's no connection here. Well, that can be controlled. It's not like it's all one, you know, giant, you know, service. This is your service provider, especially when you start going into now countries in the Middle East that don't necessarily have the same kind of freedoms as we do here. It's not that difficult to flip the switch.
Andy, you have said that you think it's not just the numbers, although the numbers are steady and growing, but it's also the location, that this is the 2009 revolution, the Green Movement, was all Tehran. This is all over the country. If we have that map, let's get it up for Facebook and Periscope.
Yeah, if we take a look at the map that we have put up before and that we have adverted to, if you look at the breadth and the sweep of it, it's all over the country, from Pakistan in the western part of the country to Mashhad in the northeast, all the way to Bandar Abbas and to Kamanash in the western part of the country. This is a national.
You've got good Farsi. Yes. Your Farsi's very good.
Well, of course. Yes. This is, Greek, Farsi. What's the difference?
Right.
Ancient languages, ancient civilization, a country that has had a government imposed upon it that doesn't need that can doesn't need a Jeffersonian democracy. It needs just the freedom to establish its historic traditional role as a government of the people in the world global community of nations. And that's what these people are trying to do.
So, Than, we know that the UN is having an emergency Security Council meeting this afternoon. What does that mean? You're our UN representative. By the way, we're a non-governmental organization recognized by the UN. What does this mean?
Well, the emergency session, Jay, it's at the request of the president, President Trump, and Ambassador Haley. And look, I think the most significant thing about this session is the fact that the Iranian regime, Jay, they will eventually put this protest down unless one thing happens, and that is unless the eyes of the world continue to be on it, and they cannot do it in darkness. So the first important thing about this emergency session is that the eyes of the United Nations are on it. Now, Jay, I do not expect 9 of the 15 members of the council to go along with the United States, but that does not mean it's a defeat. In fact, what the United States is trying to do is make sure that the world is focusing on this, because I will predict in the weeks to come, the United States is going to start to re-implement sanctions. Eventually, Jay, the international community has to follow. That starts today at the Security Council.
And when we come back, Pakistan, money already frozen by the United States government, almost $1 billion. And talking about big numbers, you know how many views the videos of the ACLJ and related entities had last year? 130 million video views. The number one viewed? 2.5 million. The Jay Sekulow Band song? Long time. But a lot of other ones with big numbers, too. We'll be back with your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Let me also say something before we go to the break. I didn't realize we had that much time left. Hey, your support of the ACLJ made it...
Millions of your taxpayer dollars are being funneled to jihadists at war with Israel. The terrorist-led Palestinian Authority uses $300 million a year to pay Palestinians carrying out terrorist attacks against Israel. We're paying for this. We funnel over $700 million taxpayer dollars to the Palestinian Authority and related entities each year. In fact, the UN has created a new $65 million taxpayer-funded anti-Israel slush fund to prop up the Palestinian Authority's legal war against Israel. This funding must end. We're aggressively fighting on Capitol Hill, at the United Nations, and in international courts to defend Israel. This is a critical moment. We need your voice now. Israel needs your voice now. Sign on to our petition. Stop funding terrorists at war with Israel. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or add your name online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
So yesterday, the administration announced that it was freezing almost $1 billion in assistance to Pakistan. The exact amount, by the way, is not yet determined, but we know it's over $900 million. It could total over $1 billion. The funding freeze comes from state and the Department of Defense. The funds are frozen rather than cut to provide an incentive for Pakistan to, quote, take decisive action against terrorists and militant groups. This goes back to what we talked about, and I want to know how you feel about this approach that the president's taking, which is basically you're not getting our aid unless you provide a tangible benefit to our national security interests. And that, I think, is important with regard to Pakistan. And I think that this is different than humanitarian aid. But I think there's something to say, Andy, about laying it out just like that. You are not doing what we asked you to do for stabilization in the region, fighting Taliban, fighting terrorist organizations, so we're not going to give you $1 billion.
Well, that's exactly right, Jay. Why should we be giving money to Pakistan and the amounts that we have been giving it through the State Department, through the Department of Defense, which, as you have said, does total more than $1 billion, when we're getting no assistance whatsoever in reciprocation from Pakistan in terms of the terrorist activities that they are funding throughout the world. This is a foolish policy that has been adopted by many administrations. It's not just Obama's administration, but prior. Finally, President Trump has come up as the business person that he is and says, look, there's a contract between me and Pakistan. You do this, I do this. You don't do this, I don't do this. And he has thrown the gauntlet down and said, I'm going to freeze the money. That doesn't mean that I'm not going to remove the freeze if, in fact, you come to the bargaining to the table again and do the things that you're supposed to do as an ally. What kind of ally are you? I'll tell you what, you're no ally whatsoever.
All right, let's do this. We're going to take calls and comments. Dan, let's talk about what this means as far as institutionally. What has happened within the agencies, the State Department here, the White House, Department of Defense? What has taken place and what does this mean? Because this is a big, big move by the administration.
It's so much more than symbolism, Jay. It's so much more than messaging. You're talking about $1 billion mainly in two accounts, the foreign military financing accounts, which is housed at the State Department. That department is money that countries can use to buy weaponry. You're talking about planes, machinery, other weapons. That has been frozen. It will now no longer be sent to Pakistan. Jay, the other account, which is even larger, almost maybe up to $900 million, that's called the Coalition Support Funds. Those funds go to reimburse countries who aid us in the war on terror and other national security matters. Guess what? Pakistan has not only not been doing that, they have been harboring the terrorists. They have been working against us in that regard. So in both of those instances, over at the State Department and down at the Department of Defense at the Pentagon, Jay, that money is no longer going out the door. It is frozen. Pakistan will have to earn it back by cooperating with us if they want to access it.
Also, very important, State Department has placed Pakistan on the country watch list of countries failing to protect religious liberty. We know that firsthand because, again, we don't just talk about it here. We've got an office in Lahore, Pakistan, that fights for Christians that are being brutalized by Islamic militants in these cities. I mean, they wipe out entire villages, entire cities, or small towns, I would say. They don't reach the size of cities. But this is an ongoing problem. And you got this case of Asia Bibi that we're still working on. 5 years in jail facing a death sentence for giving a cup of water to a Muslim woman. And this is what's going on in Pakistan. So should we give them $1 billion? The answer to that is no. Here's what the president said about that.
Pakistan has also sheltered the same organizations that try every single day to kill our people. We have been paying Pakistan billions and billions of dollars at the same time they are housing the very terrorists that we are fighting. But that will have to change. And that will change immediately.
I have to say, Andy, I like the approach the president's taking here. I think this is combining our aid with tangible return.
Well, that's exactly the way he's couched it. If you look at him, he speaks in a very measured tone. He speaks as a person who has thought about this very carefully. I'm sure he has taken the advice of his advisors with respect to this. And he is talking like a person who has taken a business-like approach to it as a contract matter. I'll give you money, but you've got to give me in return some indication that you're going to support the United States and its mission to ensure human rights, ensure the rights of people in a humanitarian way, and that you're not going to fund terrorism. Where did we find bin Laden, Jay? We found him in Pakistan next to a military installation. Don't tell me the Pakistani government didn't know he was there. I'm not going to believe that.
Well, I think next to a military base. I've never believed that. Anyways, we've got callers coming in. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. A lot to talk about here. But the UN Security Council meeting on this situation with Iran this afternoon. Again, the ACLJ involved in Pakistan, involved in the situation in Iran. All of these issues that we're discussing, we're engaged in. Let's go ahead and we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. And we're trying to educate you on the situation with Iran. And let me tell you in that regard what we're doing. We have a 30-minute special that we're going to run this afternoon on Facebook and Periscope that you're not going to want to miss. And let me take another step on that. We will probably have at least some initial updates on the UN Security Council. This will be one of our special politics and policy programs that we do. We're going to do it, and we've got a great package on Iran. Some of you saw it during the we did an extended version of the radio broadcast early in the week. But so many people viewed it. We are going to do it again, but also have some more current analysis in it. That'll be what time is that going to be, Will? 4 p.m. Eastern. So you can figure out your clock from there. Let's go ahead and take a phone call, Logan.
All right, let's go to Lola in L.A. on line 2. You're on the air, Lola.
Hello. Is there a way that our monies that is frozen can replace the monies that we're giving to them and or used to reduce our debt? Is there a way legally that it can be done?
Well, I mean, that's a good question, but I don't think it can be used as a direct offline set off. And Than, I see on our monitor here. Go ahead, Than, answer the question.
Yeah, it cannot be directly, Jay, but it can have a trickle-down effect because much of this money can be reprogrammed. If you don't have to spend it in Pakistan, it has already been allocated for these security purposes. You can spend it elsewhere in place of other money that you would have spent. The trickle-down effect there, Jay, is in the next calendar year, you don't have to appropriate as much for that account because you had extra to spend elsewhere. So it's not clean, it's not direct, but the caller is exactly right. We are deficit spending every single year. One of the easiest places to cut is to quit sending money to our enemies. Don't fund our terrorists, fund our allies, and you will save money in the budget as a result.
But you can't do a direct offset, right, Than?
Correct.
Yeah,
that's
so
correct.
I want to
be clear.
You got to know what you can do and what you can't do. But the fact is that the momentum is moving this direction. I want to grab another call before the break here, unless you want to take a comment, Logan.
No, let's do the call. Let's go to Lisa in California. Modesto, you're on the air. Lisa, you there?
Hi, gentlemen. Yes.
Go ahead.
Hi. My question was basically like the last caller. We have trillions of dollars of debt, and yet we are sending. I have multiple family members who have been in Iran. Afghanistan, these places that have all this terror activity going on, and yet we are sending billions of dollars over there. I am thrilled that the president is saying no. What more can we do to keep our money out of the hands of these terrorist countries?
Well, I think, okay, so these are, you got to do it country by country because the issues of each country are different. Iran should be getting nothing, especially as their people are in the streets protesting. That's number one. Number two, the Palestinian Authority will not go to the table. Now, if they went to the table, you can release aid. If they don't go to the table, you don't release aid. And then you look at Pakistan, we're not getting our return. In other words, they're not going after terror. So it's a country-by-country analysis. You can't paint it with a broad brushstroke.
Yeah, that's true, Jay. And, you know, the president is doing it in that fashion. He's looking at it. Certainly, I think that he's going to probably reimpose sanctions on Iran. Wouldn't you say? I mean, that's probably going to happen in January 11th
or
12th.
You know,
or whatever,
the decision on that has to come next week.
That's right. That's correct.
I'll let Fan address this, too. There's a lot of issues that go into that certification that are not simply we decertify. Go ahead, Fan.
There's layers to it, Jay. The first one is on January 11th, the decertification. I suspect the president will do the same thing he did in October. But then after that, Jay, two main things. There's rolling deadlines on the waivers for those sanctions that were waived under the deal. I suspect some of those will start to not be granted and will be reimposed. But, Jay, maybe the more important layer here is the debate that's taking place on Capitol Hill between Republicans, Democrats on the White House to add a new layer of sanctions. And you heard the chairman of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, Ed Royce, in the open to this show say that he is looking at that right now. So, yes, the president certainly will have a role in this, but I think the Congress on a bipartisan basis is going to start layering new sanctions on as well.
We're going to keep this conversation going. Again, if you want to call in, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We also take your comments, a lot of them during the break, and run exclusive videos during the breaks. And keep going online. That's at facebook.com/jsekulow. Periscope and Twitter at Jay Sekulow, and again, 1-800-684-3110.
Logan, we've had 130 million views of videos.
Last year.
Yes, just last year. That's a big number.
That is a big number. I mean, your voice is being heard as you guys share these videos. That's why it's important to continue to share the content of the ACLJ through the Jay Sekulow page.
Does that mean it's showing up in people's feeds?
Millions of people.
130 million.
I guess people could watch it back a few times. But millions of people, tens of millions, at least.
Wow. We're pretty impressed with that, and we're impressed because you're watching. We appreciate that. We'll be back with more, including your calls, at 800-684-3110.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. Millions of your taxpayer dollars are being funneled to jihadists at war with Israel. The terrorist-led Palestinian Authority uses $300 million a year to pay Palestinians carrying out terrorist attacks against Israel. We're paying for this. We funnel over $700 million taxpayer dollars to the Palestinian Authority and related entities each year. In fact, the UN has created a new $65 million taxpayer-funded anti-Israel slush fund to prop up the Palestinian Authority's legal war against Israel. This funding must end. We're aggressively fighting on Capitol Hill, at the United Nations, and in international courts to defend Israel. This is a critical moment. We need your voice now. Israel needs your voice now. Sign on to our petition. Stop funding terrorists at war with Israel. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
All right, welcome back to the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We just had some news during the break. Our Professor Harry Hutchison, our director of policy, has joined us. Wall Street Journal is reporting that in Iran, protesters have overrun a government office in the city of Iraq, the site of a major nuclear facility. Andy, you just said this is a major development.
It is a major development. I mean, it shows, first of all, that there's viability to the revolution, and I hope it is a revolution, and that it's organic. That is, it is in the basis of the people themselves. And you know, the government tried to organize a counter protest by forcing people to go out into the streets and to protest, but apparently the revolution or the uprising, the eruption, does have legs to it, Jay. And it seems to be. And if we look at this map that we have put up, you see Iraq is
right in the middle
of the country. So yep. It's near Tehran. It's in the southwestern region of the capital. This is an important thing and an important development. I just wish we had the ability to find out more of what is going on in the country.
But there's been this information blockage. And again, Logan, I think it's important for people to understand what this means. And then I want to talk to Than and to Harry, but there's been an information. The reason you're not seeing on the news is there's not video coming out right now.
There's no real video or photos. Occasionally, we'll get something that pops up here and there. There are back channels for them to use the internet and get messages out, but it's not as easy as 1-2-3. So it is something that is essentially being blocked throughout the country.
All
right. So think about your devices, everything, your social media just shut off.
Which tells you the regime here, Harry, is very concerned about what's going on.
Absolutely, and certainly proponents or supporters of the regime are glad that the Iranian government has shut down communication. It does two things. It weakens, perhaps, the protests, the uprising, if you will, but it also prevents the world at large from learning what is actually going on. And so it's possible. I'm not a technology person. But it may be possible for the United States to expand the communications capability of the Iranian people. There may be affirmative things that they can do, and this will perhaps advance the cause of peace long term in the Middle East by depriving the mullahs of more support from the Iranian people.
So what the mullahs are doing, they're reacting this way, Logan, from an information standpoint, because they know that this is a growing movement and they're trying to contain it by a starve out of information.
Yeah, and somewhat that's worked. I mean, I don't see my social media feed filled with this, and much different than the Arab Spring or any of that. So this is definitely a little bit working for them to silence people and not get those photos.
But the people of Iran are still coming out.
Yes, but in the global national, the global side of it.
Now, how significant is this then in light of the fact that we got a UN Security Council vote in the next couple hours?
Jay, the development you're talking about in the city of Iraq, I cannot tell you. I think it is of tremendous and significant value, and here's why. Many members of the Security Council, Jay, have said that this session is not needed, that this is not something the Security Council should be intervening in. Well, look, if the demonstrators, if the protesters are overtaking government facilities in a city with a major nuclear facility, if that is not a matter for the national or for the UN Security Council to take up, then absolutely nothing is. So I think the timing is significant here. And go back to what I started with. The key role for the United Nations here on whether this takes weight is if the eyes of the world are on it. Jay, the timing of this 3 o'clock Security Council session and the timing of this development in Iraq, I think it's huge.
I do too. And I think the significance of it, we cannot overstate. We're taking your calls and comments, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and do it.
All right, continuing on. Let's go to Paul in Maryland on line four. Paul, welcome.
Hey, Paul, go ahead.
God bless you, and thank you for all you
Thanks.
Do. My question, Jay, is when we pay federal income tax, they make sure we pay the what we're supposed to pay. But yet when this money's sent overseas, don't they make sure that every dime that we send over there goes to the proper place?
They don't. I mean, that's just the honest answer. I mean, we've had – Andy and I participated. I said this yesterday in lectures and programs at Exeter College at Oxford University a couple of summers ago. And a UN representative that does relief work said, listen, the money comes in. We don't know where it – they don't even know where it's going. I mean, that's just unfortunately the truth. The corruption inside these agencies is so significant. What the president's doing, though, Harry, is saying, we will give you this if we get this.
Absolutely.
And so if we don't get this, we're not giving you this.
The president of the United States is demanding a return on our investment in these countries. And it's about time. For 40 years or so, we have consistently been giving money to countries like Pakistan. We've been giving money to the Palestinians. And we have not achieved our strategic objectives. And it's time for a change.
I tend to agree. Let's go ahead and take another call. We got phone lines are jammed. We'll try to clear a couple up so you can call us at 800-684-3110.
Yeah, let's go to Peter in Sarasota on line 3 in Sarasota, Florida. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter.
Hey, God bless you.
Thanks.
Well, I'm a father, 5 children. I got 2 in the military. I got
yes,
two
sir.
Nephews in the military.
Appreciate
and
that
they serve in Iraq and they serve in Afghanistan.
Yep.
And let me tell you something. As a father, I have skin in the game.
Yep.
I am totally upset. I don't care if you're Democrat, Republican, conservative, progressive, whatever you are. If you are an American, if you love this country, giving money to people that want to kill my children or your children, I'm a little upset, Jay, because the more I hear this, the more it turns in my stomach that we're giving money to people. That's blood money.
Yeah, well, now, look, listen, first of all, we appreciate your family service to the country, and you're speaking your heart and your emotion because that's a fact. What's like when the Israelis have said this? Why is the world giving the Palestinians billions of dollars when they reward terrorists? And that's not a secret, by the way. You kill an Israeli, you get a life pension. And it gets streets and parks named after you. And the same thing with Pakistan. We're giving them all this money and they use it against our own interests. So that day is over. Andy?
I agree totally with the caller. I mean, it has been an absurd policy of the United States to continue to pay and to fund countries like Pakistan when we are getting nothing in return, and especially when they're killing, I keep coming back to the Osama bin Laden. They harbored them. They knew he was there, and yet we continued to give him money. President Trump has finally put the brakes on this and said, we're not going to do it. Isn't that a laudable, a praiseworthy act? I think it is.
Harry, how would you go ahead?
For a bipartisan consensus to change our funding approach to Pakistan, Palestine, the Palestinian Authority, to the entire Middle East. These areas have been bastions of instability and duplicity, and it's time for a change.
Give us a quick analysis, Stan, on what you see on that front on Capitol Hill.
Well, I think there's been a pretty strong bipartisan support for the protesters, the demonstrators in Iran. But, Jay, I think it's going to be harder coming on the funding mechanisms. Maybe not so much on the security piece. You do have Democrats that will go along with some of that. But on some of the economic pieces, Jay, they're going to be a hard sell. And, look, I want to make one final point on this. This is why the country of particular concern designation of Pakistan is so important. Because, Jay, that means that some of the non-security economic aid that goes to them will automatically start getting freezed as well. As long as they are a CPC, a country of particular concern, they will not get some of that non-security aid as well. On
Good.
Some of that, there may be some bipartisan support.
So I think, look, we've got a significant development here with all of this. We're here for another 30 minutes. You're not going to want to miss it. Don't forget, this afternoon, 4 o'clock Eastern time, a special broadcast, our policy broadcast. The issue will be on Iran, and we've got a special we're going to run on this. You're not going to want to miss that this afternoon.
That's right. I'll be running on Facebook Live, so make sure you're watching, you're following us on Facebook. Like our pages and also follow us on Twitter at Jay Sekulow and at ACLJ. Make sure you check out that special later today. But also, there's a full other half hour coming up at Jay Sekulow Live, and some of your stations don't carry it. If they don't or you just want to switch it up, you can find us broadcasting live right now on Facebook.com/Jay Sekulow, Periscope and Twitter at Jay Sekulow. Get your calls in 1-800-684-3110. Download the ACLJ app and subscribe to the Jay Sekulow Live podcast. Available now on iTunes. Again, we'll be right back with a whole other 30 minutes of Jay Sekulow Live.
Millions of your taxpayer dollars are being funneled to jihadists at war with Israel. This funding must end. We're aggressively fighting on Capitol Hill, at the United Nations, and in international courts to defend Israel. This is a critical moment. We need your voice now. Israel needs your voice now. Sign on to our petition. Stop funding terrorists at war with Israel. Call 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We've also got some other breaking news that's happened. We're obviously following the situation with the president, Department of Defense, and state freezing $1 billion of aid to Pakistan. This comes on the heel of the president saying he's not going to fund the Palestinian Authority if they're not going to go to the table and negotiate. That's about $750 million. So you're close to $2 billion right there in 48 hours. This is a new approach to foreign policy, and I think it's the right approach. We've got to get something for this in exchange, whether it's stability in the region, whether it's people being helped, whatever it is. We can't just give the money and not get anything back. At the same time, it's two things happened yesterday in Washington. We'll talk about this in the next segment of the broadcast, and that is a court order in the Fusion GPS matter requiring the production of documents. And at the same time, there's also documents are now going to be made available to the committees from the FBI, including the whole situation with Bruce Ohr and his wife and Fusion GPS, Peter Strzok and the emails against the president, all that coming to light. So we'll talk about that a little bit later in the broadcast, probably next segment. Let's go ahead and take some calls so we can clear the lines and get into that.
All right, Jerry St. Louis, you're on the air.
Hey, Jerry, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Jay, how you doing? Thank you very much for everything you do.
Thanks.
Hey, I was wondering, with the $1 billion that they're freezing out, with Pakistan getting $3.5 billion, is that really going to make a difference, considering Afghanistan almost gets $8 billion a year?
Well, I think, look, $1 billion is significant, this is just the opening start here. This is what they could do, Than, immediately.
Yeah, it's $34 billion over 16 years, and it fluctuates wildly. The $1 billion in security funds is essentially all of the security funds, Jay. And again, this goes back to the point we made just a few minutes ago. The country of particular concern designation will start to eat away at the other $1 billion that is non-security related. So they can do the security stuff right away. Some of the other stuff has a trigger effect, but this is where you start. This is the perfect place to start.
Jerry, Harry, how do you view this as far as a foreign policy shift in approach?
Well, Jay, I view this as the opening salvo in a long strategic shift with respect to countries that we give aid to, Pakistan, the Palestinians, and others. And I think it's long overdue. I think the Trump administration is beginning to rethink our entire approach, the approach that we have been on for, let's say, the last 30 to 40 years has not worked. We simply spend American dollars, hard-earned American dollars, and we hope for the best. It is time to demand a return on our investment. And if the return is not forthcoming, we need to withdraw funds and we need to take hard decisions which place many of these particular countries in a box.
But this is a complete shift, Andy, of approach. I mean, I like the approach, a business approach to foreign aid.
It is a shift in approach, and it's a significant one taken by somebody who knows business. This is a business dealing, but why should we not see it as a business deal? We've got a country, Pakistan. They're supposedly our ally. They're a nuclear power. They harbored Osama bin Laden. I have no doubt about that they knew he was there. They fund terrorists. They don't cooperate with us in the turnover of terrorists. They don't do all these things. Why in the world are we giving them any money? And finally, the president of the United States comes in and says, enough. And then cuts them off, freezes them, and says, until you do, and the same thing with the Palestinian Authority, until you come to the bargaining table and negotiate peace in the Holy Land, I'm not going to give you any more money. And I'm not going to give you any money that is going to go to pay for slay. The idea that if you kill an Israeli, you've got some monument named after you, and we're paying the Palestinian Authority for refugees. Wait a minute, it's been 70 years. What refugees? Where are they coming from? Who are they refugees from? In other words, the President, Jay, is finally asking some hard questions, but more important, he's taking really decisive action.
130 million video views in 2018 at the American Center for Law and Justice, which is to me, Logan, is a big number.
Yeah, that is a huge number from what we've done social media-wise, so that's a thanks to everyone who shares and watches everything we post on social media. We appreciate that. That's why we encourage people to share, because that means the message is getting heard by that many more people.
Yeah, it's great. Your support of the ACLJ makes all that possible. Encourage you to do that at ACLJ.org. We're going to take your calls when we come back from the break. On this topic, we're going to also update on what has happened on this move at Congress as regard to the Russian investigation. We'll talk about that when we come back from the break.
Millions of your taxpayer dollars are being funneled to jihadists at war with Israel. The terrorist-led Palestinian Authority uses $300 million a year to pay Palestinians carrying out terrorist attacks against Israel. We're paying for this. We funnel over $700 million taxpayer dollars to the Palestinian Authority and related entities each year. In fact, the UN has created a new $65 million taxpayer-funded anti-Israel slush fund to prop up the Palestinian Authority's legal war against Israel. This funding must end. We're aggressively fighting on Capitol Hill, at the United Nations, and in international courts to defend Israel. This is a critical moment. We need your voice now. Israel needs your voice now. Sign on to our petition. Stop funding terrorists at war with Israel. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Back to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We're going to finish up the conversation regarding Pakistan. If you're just joining us, $1 billion of aid frozen. I mean, the president putting his money where his mouth is and our money where his mouth is, and that's good because this is a positive step of a change of policy approach, and that is we're not just going to give out aid and see, well, we'll see what happens. Having said that, there's also moves in Washington, D.C., and I want to get these calls done. Then we'll take your calls if you want to talk to us about what's happening in Washington with the Fusion GPS. The FBI, we're turning over all the documents on that whole Peter Strzok exchange. That's going to go on. And then, this is interesting also, a court order last night, Fusion GPS being required to give over its data to the subpoena from the Congress, and that's a big move. So we'll talk about that a little bit later in the broadcast as well. Let's go ahead and take some calls.
All right, let's do it. Let's go to Tom in Kansas City, Missouri. You're on the Airline 6.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, Jay.
Yep.
I enjoy your show immensely. Can I tell you how much? I just wanted to make a comment on the similarities between the event back in January or 79 when the Iran was...
Yep, the Ayatollah came to power. Yep.
Yeah, we had the Democrats who, for 400-some days, they had hostages. Reagan came in office and... they were released the next day or the day after. I was in the Navy when that happened, and it was a huge change, not just with that, but with all – Reagan changed everything around. And I think the same thing has happened with Trump. He's come in and changed everything around.
Well, I think the military is now being able to do their missions, and the president's allowed the military leaders to give advice and to actually to engage here. And that's a policy shift. I think it's a significant policy shift. And maybe subtle to some, but there is definitely, I mean, look what's happened with ISIS. You look what's happened with the way we're engaging on Department of Defense expenditures. All of these together looks like, to me, like policy shifts.
I think that's correct. I think the president is relying on experienced military individuals rather than so-called elite expert opinion, which has not provided a good economic or strategic return to the United States. And I think that is a major step forward, and I think we will see results from this development down the road.
How's that being perceived or received, I guess is the better word, than in Washington right now?
Yeah, I think the caller is exactly right. When it comes to ISIS and the pursuit of the war on terror, the president has set forward a very clear mission, unlike the last one, which was more of a containment mission. This is one of destroy. But then, Jay, yes, he has delineated command down to the generals and the people on the ground. I think that's being received very favorably. On the policy level, Jay, I think that's the one that members of Congress are probably more tuned into.
Yeah.
Because, look, they're going to have to follow his lead. They're going to have to quit appropriating these dollars altogether. That's their role in it.
All right, let's take calls, 1-800-684-3110. Logan, unless you want to take comments.
No, let's go ahead. Let's keep these calls going. And you can call in, too, like you said, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Alan in Oregon on line 4.
Yep.
Alan, you're on the air. All right.
Hi, good day, gentlemen. Thank you all so much for all the great work that you do.
Thanks.
I see a lot of scrolling going up my screen because I am also watching live on video about why we give these monies to countries overseas that hate us, don't care for us, whatever.
Yep.
And the simple answer in my mind is we do it in order to maintain our strategic foothold versus letting those countries go to countries such as Russia or whomever else.
Well, that's a legitimate reason for a return. So that's part of your return. You want influence in the region. What the president is now saying is lip service is not enough. He's saying basically, and Will, is this a quote, Will, that you just gave me? Yeah, so Will Haynes, our producer, just said, I think this is right. It's kind of the era of let's give the developing world billions of dollars and see what happens is over. So what you're saying is not incorrect, Alan. It is a strategic move to fund, for instance, a particular area of the world to block other funding from coming in. What the president's now saying is, though, you're going to actually have to do that. We're not going to just give it to you, and you're not going to then take it from the other guy, too.
The president essentially is saying that it's time for duplicity to end. These countries have been taking advantage of the United States to gain money. Some of this money has been spent on corruption and wealth for the leaders, but they have not conformed to our interests, so it's time for us to defund them until they do.
Yeah, I think, look, I mean, this is, I'm sure within the State Department there are people that are objecting to this. You know there's individuals inside that agency that have been there for 40 years that don't like the fact that we are seeing, Andy, a significant change in policy.
Oh, I'm sure the deep staters who have been there, the bureaucrats and the career people who know more than anybody in the whole world about how the government should be run, are saying that this is an appalling situation. But what have we gotten in return for what their policy would be? The answer is nothing. Finally, President Trump looks at this as an objective person and says, what are we doing? Why are we giving money to a regime like the Palestinian Authority, who has partnered with Hamas? Why are we giving money to the Pakistanis who have harbored terrorists and criminals and who don't cooperate with us and give us anything but deceit and lies? And he's cut them off. Well, I'm sorry that the career bureaucrats don't like that, and they ought to go if they can. Get rid of them.
Yeah.
All right, good comment came in. A lot of comments are coming in, obviously very similar points of view. But Jill asked, Iran, all countries that are not our allies need all funds to be halted immediately. Why isn't it that simple?
It's not that simple, Finn, because there's things you can halt that the president can do or the departments can do, and there's other action that Congress requires to do.
There's literally more than a dozen accounts that both of these countries get funds from. And so what the president is doing is taking the ones that he has direct executive branch control over. Most of those are security related. For instance, the account that allows you to buy weaponry, buy planes. Andy's been talking about that base that was by Osama bin Laden's compound. Jay, there would have been planes on that base that we paid for. Those are the funds that the president can stop. Yes, it's true. On many of the other accounts, Congress is going to have to stop appropriating them. We've been calling for that for a long time. And by the way, Jay, the place they should start is a bill we've been calling to be passed for months and months now, the Taylor-Forrest Act. It's through the House. The Senate needs to pass it as well. That would address the Palestinian funding.
All right, when we come back, we're going to get into this, but I want to start this conversation right now if we can, and that is a federal judge ruled Thursday, yesterday, I reviewed the opinion, that the Washington-based firm Fusion GPS, this is the one that did the so-called Trump dossier, that they were not turning over various documents, including financial records, over to the Congress. And they actually filed a action in federal court to block their enforcement of a subpoena. The court ruled yesterday, Judge Richard Leon, who I've appeared before on other cases, denied Fusion's GPS request for an injunction on the grounds that such a disclosure would violate the firm's First Amendment rights. They were trying to say they were not just a national security opposition research firm, but they were engaged in speech activity. They're the ones that looks like paid for the Steele dossier. So the court's saying, Andy, you've got to turn these documents over.
Yes, I'm reading the opinion. He says, because I find all of Fusion's objections to the subpoena to be unavailing, the motion is denied, wrote Judge Leon, who was appointed by former President George W. Bush. So anyway, we have a U.S. District Judge ruling that the Fusion GPS effort to block the House Intelligence Committee from subpoenaing the firm's financial records has been denied, and they've got to turn over those documents to the House.
Excuse me. And that comes on the very same day that the Speaker of the House met with the Intel Leadership Committee. And this is important. They were trying to get, and you had the leader of the FBI and the Deputy Attorney General of the United States, Rod Rosenstein, and Chris Wray, meeting with the Speaker, Speaker Ryan, with the purpose of not complying with the subpoena that Congress had issued regarding the Bruce Orr discussion. Remember, Bruce Orr was the number four in the FBI. His wife was working for Fusion GPS. Congress wanted additional information from Peter Strzok and the emails with Lisa Page regarding their statements about the president while they were investigating him. So, Fan, when you look at yesterday, let's talk about that. This was very direct. The Speaker of the House doubled down on this and said, no, you're producing those documents, FBI Department of Justice.
This was huge, Jay. The House Intelligence Committee had a very big day. In addition to the court order you've talked about, they have been fighting over a number of subpoenas that they had issued in August to the FBI looking for documents and access to witnesses. Rod Rosenstein and Chris Wray literally came to Speaker Ryan's office to try to cut a deal that was something less than the House Intelligence Committee was asking for. They didn't want to provide everyone. They didn't want to provide everything. Speaker Ryan said, no, absolutely not. The House Intelligence Committee has a right to it. You will provide them. And they've agreed to do it, Jay. There's going to be a number of documents, including about 10,000 texts between Peter Strzok and Lisa Page. And, Jay, a litany of witnesses as well. Eight of them are likely going to be in the next month. And they're names that you know. It's Bruce Orr, it's Peter Strzok, it's Lisa Page, it's Bill Priestep, who is the director of counterintelligence. Jay, that is the individual that would have had to authorize any surveillance. He is not somebody that's given testimony before. The House Intelligence Committee is going to get to interview him.
This is a big development. Your reaction to all that? We'll take your calls when we come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. We've got another segment ahead. Get your calls in.
Yeah, phone lines are open right now. We took a bunch, so we've opened them up for conversation to continue. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. To have your voice heard, we will be taking some of these comments coming up in the next segment. We obviously have that exclusive video presentation coming on later this afternoon, 4 o'clock Eastern time. So make sure you like our social media pages. But right now, we want your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard today as we wrap up this week on Jay Sekulow Live in the next segment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. Millions of your taxpayer dollars are being funneled to jihadists at war with Israel. The terrorist-led Palestinian Authority uses $300 million a year to pay Palestinians carrying out terrorist attacks against Israel. We're paying for this. We funnel over $700 million taxpayer dollars to the Palestinian Authority and related entities each year. In fact, the UN has created a new $65 million taxpayer-funded anti-Israel slush fund to prop up the Palestinian Authority's legal war against Israel. This funding must end. We're aggressively fighting on Capitol Hill, at the United Nations, and in international courts to defend Israel. This is a critical moment. We need your voice now. Israel needs your voice now. Sign on to our petition. Stop funding terrorists at war with Israel. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Last segment of the broadcast, so you can talk to us. Our phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. Two developments in Washington, D.C. First, U.S. District Court Judge Leon yesterday issued an order late yesterday saying that Fusion GPS had to turn over its records. That includes the records on the Steele dossier, the so-called Trump dossier. That's a significant development because at the same time, Speaker Ryan, even after he was approached by Chris Wray of the FBI and Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein of the Department of Justice, they were asking the speaker to not have the committee, this is the committees that are the Intelligence Committee, get information from the Department of Justice, including the fact that Bruce Orr, the number four at the Department of Justice, wife, was working for Fusion GPS as a Russian specialist against the and she was helping draft this dossier. I am happy to report that the Speaker of the House has said no, produce those documents. Now, those documents, Andy, are going to be, you take that development with this court order, and there's about to be a lot of information coming to the American people in the next week.
As well it should be. The Congress and the congressional representatives that we elected have the right and the obligation to be looking into these matters, to be inquiring into just exactly who funded what the purpose of it was, what Orr was doing, what his wife was doing, what Strzok was doing. Strzok was actually trying to figure out how he could make sure that the president got elected, that he wanted to get elected, and he was working with his girlfriend, Lisa Page, to do that, and it was part of the Mueller team. Is not anymore. I'm glad to hear that. And so we finally have gotten the information and into the hands, I think, and I hope it will be complete. I hope it will be total. I hope they won't play any games with us, Jay.
What do you expect, Than, is going to happen here?
I think in the next month, Jay, they're going to be literally the first eight of these witnesses are going to appear behind closed doors. And look, I'm most interested in two questions. One, it pertains to the court order. That's going to be answer that complicated question you just had a conversation with the panel about who paid for the dossier. There's going to be multiple answers, but it's going to come out of those records. As far as the testimony with the House Intelligence Committee, Jay, we're going to get clear answers on just how much and how that dossier was used to go to the FISA courts for surveillance. Because, again, and there's a number of things we could talk about. Well, let me just give you one. Bill Priestep, the director of counterintelligence, he would have had to authorize that surveillance. He has not given any testimony. One of the questions he will be asked is, what did you give to the FISA court in October that yep. made them grant that application when they denied it back in June?
That is going to be a big development. A really big development. All right, let's go ahead and take a phone call.
All right, let's go to Andy in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania on line two. You're on the air.
Hi, Andy. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on.
Hi, Jay. First, I want to persuade everyone to contribute to the ACLJ, as I do.
That.
I think it's well worth it. And secondly, pertaining to these papers, just the fact that these gentlemen would go to Speaker Ryan to withhold this information, or at least some of it, smells like there's something fishy going on. And second of all, is there any guarantee whatsoever that they actually are going to turn over everything and not withhold something?
Well, let me tell you, the situation is they don't want to give these documents over. I mean, their goal is not to give this document over. This is a big development. You have two. You have the Fusion GPS decision by the court. That's big because there it's requiring Fusion GPS to turn over the documents. And then at the same time, you've got the Congress saying, hey, FBI, you give us the documents about this whole matter, this whole situation, and they want both. Now, is there a guarantee that you're going to get everything, Andy? And they may claim some privileges here, but the privilege that Fusion GPS claimed was denied by the court. That doesn't mean they won't appeal it.
That's right.
But it was denied by the court.
It was denied by the court. The judge says that because all the objections to the subpoena are unavailing, the motion is denied. And that was what happened there. But with respect to the congressional demand for documents from the from the executive branch of the government, from the FBI and Department of Justice, I hope that all the documents are turned over. They were denied their request that they not be, so we're going to see. But, you know, I know how the games are played, Jay, and you do too.
Yep.
Privilege this and privilege that, and before you know it, we're litigating over what is going to be given and not.
Well, I mean, Fusion did litigate it, Harry, and Fusion lost.
Absolutely. And similarly, the FBI and the DOJ attempted to prevent testimony by important players like Bruce Orr, Peter Strzok, Bill Pressteps, FBI General Counsel James Baker,
right.
FBI lawyers like Lisa Page and Sally Moyer. These are important players, Jay,
yep,
in finding out what Peter Strzok meant by creating an insurance policy against the Trump candidacy.
Well, remember this also. When we filed FOIA litigation, we had the Department of Justice tell us one thing, and the FBI, the Department of Justice said, here are the, we're getting you the documents. When the FBI said, and the same thing, there are no documents. And then they had to correct it. So what Andy, the point that Andy's making is, I think, yes, this is a part and parcel of the problem. Now, Fan, a lot of this is going to be in closed doors. Am I correct about that? Are any of these going to be open hearings?
Probably all behind closed door because of the classified information. In fact, Jay, a couple of the documents probably will only be able to be viewed in camera, which is in private, not in public. But look, I want to underscore the point that you just made with Andy. This is part of the reason that we and others get access to information through Freedom of Information Act. Because, Jay, even information that we get that might seem innocuous, if that is not turned over during the course of this disclosure to the committee, it is going to be clear to them that the FBI is not complying. That is how we will be able to know whether or not they have everything or not. And I'll just tell you this. If they don't get everything now after this deal has been struck,
yeah,
the pressure for these people to lose their jobs will be enormous on Capitol Hill.
I agree. All right, let's take another call, Logan.
All right, Letitia's calling in Los Angeles. You're on the air.
Hi, you're on the air. Welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, sir. I just wanted to say a question is, the money that went to pay for the dossier, did that come from taxpayers?
So here's what we know. I mean, I say what we know. What we're surmising right now is what happened. Is that this initially was apparently was some Republican opposition research on Donald Trump. So it was another Republican campaign that was doing some initial research. And I guess we're going to find out who it was against the then the candidate, Donald Trump. That ended up stopping. And then the DNC, through a law firm, picked it up. And then the question is, and this is what we don't know the answer to, did the FBI pick it up as well? And did the FBI then use that report as a basis for the FISA warrants? And that, Andy, will be a very big deal if that's the case. You got an unverified dossier that was the basis of warrants.
That's corrupting the federal judiciary.
Yep.
That's what that is doing. You're taking this as what the president called Hillary, crooked Hillary garbage, and it could be that what it turns out to be, and you are using that and the facts, the alleged facts in that, to go to a U.S. district judge to get a warrant under the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act in order to engage in spying activity, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, Fan's pointing this out. I mean, opposition research, that's what happens in political campaigns. But this is very different, that opposition research is used to then go get a FISA warrant, Fan.
Yeah, you might think it's unscrupulous for a Republican candidate or for Hillary Clinton to use Fusion GPS to do this opposition research, but Jay, it's not illegal. It happens. That is not the big deal here. The big deal here is if the FBI used that opposition research to take it to the FISA court and to surveil a candidate for president of the United States.
All right,
that's
we've got a breaking news development that we'll be able to talk more about this afternoon at 4 o'clock during our special. There are now reports coming out of Iran, and this, folks, if verified, will be very big. And that is, and this is very significant, that members of the Revolutionary Guard are on the streets burning their ID cards in support of the protesters. This is exactly what we talked about the other day. This would be a very significant development. Join us at 4 o'clock for a live update. This could be very, very big.
All right. Thank you so much for listening this week on JSEC. You're live again. We'll be back live on social media. So if you're online, make sure you like us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/JSeculo and also ACLJ. You can follow us on Twitter at JSeculo, Jordan Seculo, Logan Seculo, and ACLJ. And we'll be back next week with more coverage. But as always, you can find out the breaking information on ACLJ.org.
Georgia or Alabama?
Oh, Georgia. Go Dawgs. Talk to you next week.
Millions of your taxpayer dollars are being funneled to jihadists at war with Israel.
This funding must end. We're aggressively fighting on Capitol Hill, at the United Nations, and in international courts to defend Israel. This is a critical moment. We need your voice now. Israel needs your voice now. Sign on to our petition. Stop funding terrorists at war with Israel. Call 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.